Good morning. We have quite the crew of readers this morning for you, so please bear with us. Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Psalm, chapter 49, verses 1 to 11. Psalm 49, verses 1 to 11.
Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the harp. Why should I fear in times of when the iniquity of my persecutors surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches.
Truly, no ransom avails for one's life. There is no price one can give God for it. For the ransom of life is costly and will never suffice. That one should live on forever and never see the grave. One should live at the when we look at the wise, they die. Fools and dolts will perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling place for all generations, though they name their lands their own.
Our next scripture reading is found in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 9 to 25. Acts, chapter 8, verses 9 to 25.
Now a certain man named Simon had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he was someone great. All of them, from the least to the greatest, listened to him eagerly, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they listened eagerly to him because for a long time he had amazed them with magic. But when they believed Philip, who was proclaimed the good news about the kingdom of God, and named Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. When Simon himself believed, after being baptized, he stayed consistently with Philip and was amazed when he saw the signs of great miracles that took place.
Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to find them. The two went down and prayed for them, and they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them and then received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power so that any on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit."
But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain God's gift with money. You have no part or share in this, for your heart is not right before God. Repent therefore of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see you were in the gall of bitterness and the chains of wickedness." Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may happen to me." Now after Peter and John had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, proclaiming the good news to many villages of the Samaritans. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All right. So, how is everybody? Good? Everybody's fine? Do you guys Christmas shop yet? No Christmas shopping yet? Come on. Not one thing. Birthdays? Have you bought birthday stuff lately? Yeah. Okay, so you know what I mean. So how much of the stuff out there in the stores would you say is junk? Like literally, we don't need it. 95? Well, I thought I would look online. So these are all online items that I found. And I'm going to, you know, you can decide whether you think they're junk or not. I certainly found that they were very interesting. The first one is you can buy a quart of wolf urine. It says, Dear Busters. I like that it says, please keep away from children. Yeah. My question is, how did they get that? Because I've met two wolves in my day, and I don't think that they're in the business of giving it away. Now, perhaps you like deer. You don't want to have this around. Well, then you can have the deer butt bottle opener. That is literally on Amazon right now. Isn't that a nice-looking thing? Who would put that up in their bar? No, I wouldn't. Next, perhaps you're not into deer, maybe you're into pigs. Well, good luck, you can get bacon bandages. I like the fact it says a free prize inside. I think that's cholesterol. Yeah, it gets better than this. You can get, if you've got the psychopath in your life, you can get 24-pack of saran wrap to wrap bodies in. That's really a thing. That's really out there. Yeah. Now maybe you have a friend who's lonely a little bit and is sad. Well, that's good news because technology's got you solved. It's the Hold My Hand phone gripper. So you can feel like you're holding your lover's hand while you're walking down the street. Isn't that nice? Look how peaceful she looks. Of course, they have the knapsack sleep hood. Now, if you look in the middle, it has worship. Do you guys see that? It's got meetings, worship, and sports. So you just put this, take a nap anywhere. It says Recline Magazine. I love the name of the magazine. Recline Magazine. Yeah. Now, if you have a dog, no worries. You can buy the dress him up like Marilyn Monroe outfit. Isn't that beautiful? Your dog will hate you for your life if you do this. But Jenna Lee, don't worry, there's cats too. The unicorn horn. Now look at the top, it says cats love it. Look at that cat's face. That cat is just loving every minute of this. No, that doesn't do it for you. Well, then maybe you've got an athlete in your life and you just want to just give him that thing he doesn't have. Well, you have the potty putter that he can work on his game all the time. Yes, I noticed he's got the Golf Digest there. So yeah, the potty putter. I mean, what better thing can you have than that? Well, of course, if you're one of a sci-fi kind of person, you can go to the Roswell UFO crash site and buy the soil there. And I love the fact it says certificate of authenticity. So somebody is going to give you some piece of paper that says this came from the place where the UFO crashed in 1947. Yeah. I'm sure that was very authentic. Now, perhaps you're a lady, and if you bought that bag of this dirt that was a UFO, you'd be worried about radiation. Well, they've got that solved. They have the radiation emergency bra with two respiratory face masks and a radiation sensor insert. And this is all true. They next have a picture on how that would work for you when you were wearing it. And finally, you can buy nothing. Isn't that great? Congratulations, you've received the gift of nothing. You have received the gift of absolutely nothing. This is the ultimate in minimalism. Less is more. Nothing is precious. Nothing is simple. Nothing is sacred. The gift of nothing is yours to discover. You can buy literally anything, and you can buy literally nothing. Right? Our world is driven by consumerism and wealth. Are you agree with me yet? How much junk have we got to have before people will realize that And the question comes, what happens with the church? Can you buy a stairway to heaven? Led Zeppelin says you can. Or is it free? Well, this whole section's about that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the children's reading those scriptures. We thank you for out of the mouth of babes comes truth. We pray that your Holy Spirit will fill us to open our eyes and our ears so we will understand what this text means to us today. We thank you for your willingness to come into our lives to wake us up. We ask you to do that this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the story starts off with a certain man named Simon. He's a guy that's a Samaritan and he practices magic, as it turns out, in the city. And people are pretty amazed by this guy, saying that he was someone great. This guy is the equivalent of a celebrity of his time. Now, I have to tell you, when it says he practiced magic, you're probably thinking about a guy that wore a tuxedo with a scantily clad helper that he cuts in half, right? This is not what ancient worlds meant by magic. Magic was actually considered to be a force. So this was actually considered to be an empowerment. He was some sort of healer, and that was, he was close to the divine, okay? All of them, from the least to the greatest, every one of them listened to him eagerly, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." They have given this Simon an incredible title. He is the one who's called great. He's awesome. And they listened eagerly to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. So he was the celebrity of that town. Often cases in the ancient world, the magicians were, because if your kid couldn't get healed by the leeches that the doctors gave them, you went to magic. You went to magicians and hoped that they would have some sort of formula that would work. But when they believed Philip, so Philip shows up, who was proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. And it's interesting, it says both men and women, because up to this point, it's been men, hasn't it? We're seeing a change that this gospel makes in this system. That the gospel is now designed differently, and it is about men and women. Even Simon himself was baptized, believed. And after being baptized, he stayed constantly with Philip. This is an interesting Greek word. He stayed constantly. In the Greek, it's more like he clombed onto him. Like you're worshiping a celebrity. You see what I mean? Where am I? Constantly with Philip. And was amazed when he saw the signs and great miracles take place. So he goes from being the guy that everybody's amazed of to the person who is following and is amazed of someone else. But the story kind of goes that Simon can't break out of his thinking. He still thinks in the signs and wonders are what's amazing. Do you see? And he sees it as, these guys just have more than I do. Well, the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, which would have been a surprise, by the way. The Samaritans and Jews did not get along. They hated each other. So the fact that this is happening, the apostles had to come down, because obviously God has no trouble breaking down their barriers. I mean, the Jews and the Palestinians today would be the equivalent of the Jews and the Samaritans of that day. So they were shocked that God's moving amongst these people. They went down and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting. This is the only time where the baptism isn't connected with the Holy Spirit. You notice that? Usually the Holy Spirit comes first and there's baptism. For some reason, Luke is noting that this had to wait till the apostles' approval got there. Okay? Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. There was obviously a moment where the presence of God just flowed through them, and there was an incredible moment of change in these people after these people had laid hands. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was giving through the laying of the apostles' hand, what does he do? He does what he knows, right? When you practice magic, you get money for it. There's big money in it. What does he do? He asks to pay the bill. He asks that he can have the money from it. Saying, give me also this power, and as if it was theirs to own, eh? So that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. He sees it as a power that he can have, a commodity that he can have. Something he can purchase, isn't it? He sees religious experience as a purchasable item, a commodity, a marketed economy. But Peter says, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain God's gift with money. Now, how many times have I heard people say to me, well, Christians are always asking for money. Anybody ever heard that? Ever heard that? Well, that might be the truth, but actually when you look at this rebuke, he's saying right there that this is not about money. So it'd be funny that the apostles would be just against that rebuke as anyone else. May your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain God's gift with money. Interesting, one of the theologians said basically what he said is you and your dollar bills go to hell. Literally, that's what he's saying. You have no part or share in this. Why? Because he thinks it's about gaining. It's a pretty damning thing. You have no part of this. Now remember, Simon got baptized and believed, but he has no part in what God's doing because he's still wrapped up in the money. For your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours. So like any prophet, he gives him an out. And pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven. See, the problem wasn't the buying the money. It was the intent of the heart. Don't lose that. It's always the intent of the money. Money is just money. It's just something. It's the intent of the heart around it. And when you wrap it around God, you end up with a heart that is, he says, for I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and the chain of weakness. What is bitterness? Not having enough, right? And all of a sudden he was a superstar and these other people came in and they were doing something even greater. What does he want? He wants to buy it because he's bitter that he doesn't have it. And that leads to wickedness. Anytime you trying to control things out of yourself, it turns to wickedness. Simon, in this story, repents. We don't know what happens. The point of this story is to teach us, not to tell us his history. But he says, pray for me that the Lord, to the Lord, that nothing of what you have said will happen to me. But the one funny thing one theologian notices, he doesn't pray to the Lord himself. He goes through an intercessor. He's still looking for the celebrity to go and do it for him, just like he was the celebrity for others. Now after Peter and John had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, proclaiming the good news to many villagers of the Samaritans. We're seeing the breakdown of the politics and the racist systems that they've been under. So what do you do with this? How do you preach a text like this? Well, I think the first thing you do is realize this guy was so popular, they made a word about him. Has anybody heard of simony? It's a big word during the Reformation. And it's because it was developed when the reformers were looking at the Catholics at the time buying indulgences or selling indulgences to people so that they might get a blessing. And simony simply means The buying or selling of ecclesiastical privileges. In other words, you can buy your way out of purgatory, you can buy your way out of hell, or you could buy yourself a better life in the here and now. And for example, it includes pardons or benefices. So in other words, you get something out of it. That's what simony is. Good thing that ended with the Reformation. Good thing people aren't selling religion today, eh? Good thing people in their wisdom have thought this might not be such a great idea. Nothing changes. Our friend Joel Oldstein says, God wants us to prosper financially, to have plenty of money, to fulfill the destiny He has laid out for us. Sounds a little bit like Simon. I got one better. If you will come back and make that financial pledge, God will heal your heart tonight. He literally connects the giving of money with the magic. You see it? Simony doesn't change. It has never changed. And Martin Luther gave a quote that was like the mic drop against this stuff, because it was happening during his time. He said this, "The Lord commonly gives riches to foolish people to whom He gives nothing else." Ouch. But it's very, very easy for me to speak about money in this church, because I don't think there's a ton of people following Joel Osteen here. I might be wrong. I'm not sure. Maybe you've got the Benny Hinn pick bumper sticker, but I haven't seen them. In other words, I don't think most of you guys are going to be given into late night televangelists. But this still can speak to us. Because there's another component of this section that even surpasses money, and it's called synchronism. Synchronistic Christianity. Christian synchronism is the fusion of Christian beliefs and cultural practices. So what our friend Simon was trying to do is take the magic, the cultural beliefs, and mix it in with Christianity by buying the power. Do you see? It wasn't just about the money, but he was trying to be popular by making the Christianity that he was hearing fit the culture he's in. Do you understand what he's saying? Now, do you not see the church doing that in the West today? Our culture tells us all kind of things all the time, and too often we embrace what the culture's saying as truth rather than what God says through a scripture. Because it satisfies us. We become like Simon. We try and merge two elements that aren't meant to be merged. Can anybody think of someone? I got one. I saw a shirt by somebody at a Trump rally. I'm not putting down Trump, it was at a Trump rally. It said, "God, guns, and something else." And it said afterwards, "All of these fit together." I don't know much about American gun rights, but I don't think God's really worried about the Second Amendment. Sorry. Is that the only one? What about sexual morals in the church? Has the church been somebody who's spoken up and said, "Listen, there's a different way to be human"? Or has the church largely said, "Do whatever you want"? Notice when Peter runs into this, how harsh he is. Your money and you go to hell. In our church, we say, "Oh, well, as long as you feel good." Right? We just want to keep you in the church. Again, the Martin Luther, he's so good. I quote him because he's so good. It's not because I'm a Lutheran, because I'm not. "The God of this world is riches, pleasure, and pride." It hasn't changed, has it? That was written in the 16th century, and it's the same today. The God of this world is still the same. Riches make people great, and we honor them, don't we? Pleasure? Well, I don't have to go out and tell you all you have to do is look on the internet to see that that is winning the day. That's a part of this world. And pride, celebrity. How do we like celebrities, guys? Those two guys at the beginning are basically celebrity, Christian celebrities that I mentioned. We're still wrapped up in the same truth. And the problem is that synchronism destroys the gospel. Because what always happens in cultural Christianity, as Albert Moeller said, is that the culture overwhelms the Christianity. How many of us practice Christian being nice? Canadian being nice. Have you ever heard the joke, the Canadian and the being nice and saying please all the time? You guys have heard those jokes. How much are we living our Christian life terrified of offending someone else because we're good little Christians being nice? Because that's what we should be. Did Peter sound like he wasn't offending? I mean, Christianity has become this weird thing in North America, and I'm not talking all, and I'm not talking you here, but I'm talking genuinely. Christianity, and go to a Christian bookstore, is about you getting God, doing nice things for God, so God will do nice things for you. It really is. If you just go and follow your ways, God will do something for you. The great Mike Thornton, he's a really good read, said this. The American gospel has become a gospel of following your dreams and being good so God will make all your dreams come true. But this has nothing to do with the God of the Bible. Nothing to do with the God of the Bible. And by the way, the more we embrace the culture, here's the irony, the more our churches die. Has anybody heard about the Babylon Bee? No? Nobody's heard about the Babylon Bee? One person. If you become my friend on Facebook, you're going to hear about the Babylon Bee. Babylon Bee is a Christian satirical site that makes fun of stupid things in Christianity. Okay? It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it makes fun of everything. And when it was talking about this, I love this headline. It acts like it's a newspaper, and you see the guy there, and it says, "Church that believes exactly what the world believes, not sure why no one bothers to come to church anymore." When you practice what the world already does, they do it better than us anyways. Do you see? Now, I'm going to tell you that there is an antidote to this. There's an antidote to Simon and synchronism, and it might surprise you. The antidote is this. Freedom from simony and synchronism is salvation by grace alone. And you might say, well, why is that freedom from that? Because the very core of salvation by grace alone assumes that you have no value outside of the value God gives you, and He gives it to you by grace alone. In other words, you have no standing, no matter how rich you are, how much of a celebrity you are, no matter how much you're pleasuring or seeking after pleasure, you have nothing outside of God. And yet God, by His grace, carries the cross, and He gives you everything freely. When you give something freely, no longer can I take pride in it, can I? Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's say you're sitting there and somebody hands you a Porsche. Just hands it to you freely. That's not going to happen, by the way. Unless you give more money to the... No, I'm joking. That was a little joke. That somebody gives you a Porsche and you drive it away, and then you think, well, and then you start acting proud because you're driving a Porsche, and you should be thinking a little in your head, why am I proud? I had it given to me. Right? Now, knowing our personality, we would be proud and think, well, I must be such a nice person, they gave it to me. The point being that when you believe in salvation by grace alone, no longer are you seeking celebrity, because you are only in the kingdom because He's good. You're no longer seeking popularity. You're no longer seeking those things that give you merit, like riches. Christianity is no longer about this world that works through money and pride and pleasure. It's all about living free in a state of a God who gives freely. I mean, remember John Calvin said this, "Our assurance, our glory, the sole anchor of our salvation are that Christ, The Son of God is ours. And we in turn are in Him sons of God and heirs of the kingdom of heaven, called to be the hope of eternal blessedness by what? By God's grace, not by what? That's the foundation of what our system was built on. Simon doesn't work well in a system that says everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to be part of this, do you see? Because it's free. It's free because God wants to tear down our social structure and build something new where we value each other equally and we don't run to celebrities for some holiness. Because we recognize that in that lowest person in a church could be the greatest gift of the Spirit going on. Because it's free. Because it's free. It is no wonder that Jesus Christ walked the way He did. Have you ever noticed that Jesus Christ, one of the reasons He's popular and He's so weird to people is He never sought money. Ever. He went the complete opposite way. Philippians says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied Himself. You see that? Emptied Himself. Taking the form of a slave and being born in human likeness and being found in human form, He humbled Himself and became obedient even to the point of death. Because He didn't want to live in a system where you could buy and sell religious items. So the one who had the power emptied the power to show us that that's where life is. Simon's heart is bitterness, and if we continue to bring in the world to the church, we're going to start being bitter and weak and wicked. Because we're going to start comparing ourselves. How spiritual am I compared to you? How wealthy am I compared to you? Do you see what I'm saying? And we will celebrate celebrities and run to their theaters. Remember those two guys at the beginning? Those guys sell out 18,000 seat stadiums. Why? Because people are going to see a celebrity. Well, I'm telling you right now, God is just as likely to speak through the neighbor next to you in the pew than Benny Hinn or Joel Osteen. Because God gives His Spirit freely. I don't know if this makes sense, why this is so important. But this is all about the gospel that sets us free from ourselves and sets us free from Simon, sets us free from synchronism, and sets us free to seek Him. But here's the challenge. You have to be willing to be countercultural, because this culture will always be about celebrity, money, and pleasure. Kevin DeYoung said, if we aren't prepared to be countercultural, we aren't ready to be Christians. Because this world needs to be saved. And if we're just like it, there's nothing there for them to show up for. Amen? I said I was talking about the Holy Spirit today, this week. And I'm sorry if I'm a little preachy on this, but this is particularly sensitive to me as I grieve the church giving into the world all the time when it has such a blessing to offer them. So I want to end with this truth. The Holy Spirit is God's presence and it is free. It can't be bought. It can't be sold. And all you have to do is ask for it in your life. And no one is going to give it to you in a special way. There's nobody up here that has a better handle on it than you do. God makes us equal in His Spirit. Go out and live that truth in this culture, and I'll tell you what, you'll blow people away. People who are trying to rise through money, through celebrity, through pleasure, through power, and you say, you know what, we're all equals because Christ died for us. They might even laugh at you, but I tell you that's the only way to freedom. All that junk we saw at the beginning is a system that's rotten. It is. And we're going to send, I think somebody said we're going to spend $3 trillion this Christmas on junk. seems weird to me that we're doing it through the birth of one that said it's all free. That seem weird to you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know Christmas is a wonderful time, and of course the giving and gifts comes from love. We know it's not wrong. But Lord, we get so mixed up with this world. This world that celebrates celebrities, that embraces the morality of this age, that has no good news to tell them because we're just telling them news they already heard. Lord Jesus, help us, set us free. Remind us that you have saved us by grace alone, that you pour out your Spirit freely upon us, and that we're all equals here, that there are no celebrities. Help us to take this message of humility and love out into this world. And when we run into people who are bound by this stuff, help us to share the truth of the gospel, the power of how it changes lives. Breathe life in us by your Spirit, please, because we can't do this on our own. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.